From the deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos to the smelly sewers of Nar-Shaddaa to the brightest lights that shine on Tython, this is Flashpoint.
Welcome to episode 19. It's taken us about 10 minutes to get to even this introduction stage due to some technical issues, but we're all here, and the person or the persons that make it worthwhile being here are Mark. Mark, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate.
And last but definitely not least, Mr. Ed Wilson, who's rather sick today. How are you going?
Well, I say that today I truly do know how it feels to be 100 foot long. Scaled winged lizard, because I'm really dragging.
See, and this is why people listen to this podcast. It's for gold humor like that. Bill Cosby, eat your heart out.
Priceless.
So let's jump straight into the news, because there's a fair bit of it.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republican news.
So the last couple of weeks have seen a big ramp up again in announcements and information coming out of BioWare and other sources, as you'd expect so close to launch. First one I wanted to cover tonight was the Imperial Agent progression video that was released a week ago. Start with you, Mark. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it looks like an interesting class, doesn't it? It's not one I'm going to be playing, unfortunately, but it does look quite good. I like the idea of the cover. Sort of mechanics that it's used. It looks pretty impressive, but now I'm going to stick with my Force user songs.
Ed.
I have to say, in almost every game I have played a sniper class, you know. Not very durable, very quick on the feet, and with a really big gun. I want to do that. I want to give it a try. I want to see how much damage a sniper can actually do for, is it going to be viable at close range? It looks like it will be from what I've seen. And I have to say that the abilities that they've shown for the various, for the sniper and operative look really, really cool. I can't wait to drop an orbital bombardment on somebody. Oh, there's a group of bad guys over there. Bye-bye. Peace.
Well, it's, you know, as much as it pains me, I'm going to side with you, Ed. It's the first class on the Sith side that I've thought, okay, I'm actually going to roll one of those and give it a go, because like you, I've played a lot of snipers. I'm a wuss that likes standing back and hitting things from afar, and I just love some of the features that class has. So yeah, that's convinced me I'm going to roll Sith, and probably fairly early on after my initial character, which is still going to be a consular at this stage.
Yeah, the thing is, snipers get a bad rap, and admittedly it's deserved. In real life, they don't fight fair. Not that there is anything fair in war, but they hide. They shoot from ambush, they kill their target, and they disappear. That's pretty much what I do. I don't have the reflexes or the wish to go toe-to-toe with guys, you know, buddy-hopping across the battlefield with a shotgun in each hand like I've seen people do in Call of Duty. Now, I'll just sit back, you know, okay, you're bunny-hopping, bang, you're dead.
Yeah, no, I think exactly, you know, agree totally, and it's just a great, the video itself is just really showcases all the skills and buffs and stuff for the character really well. So yeah, again, really impressive. And probably the more exciting news again was around the announcement of what early access means in regards to the game. So for those of you that are newer listeners or haven't been following the pre-order early access issue for a number of months. Essentially, BioWare have been quite upfront that people that pre-order will get some sort of early access to the game in order of when they redeemed their pre-order code after purchasing the pre-order. So, you know, you redeem your code a matter of hours after the pre-order went on sale, you'll be one of the first people to get the early access. So this week they've confirmed that the early access will be a maximum of 5 days before launch, so 15th of December versus the 20th of December. And that news is being greeted with a whole range of statements from, oh, wow, is that it? That's pretty disappointing, through to, well, 5 days is better than nothing, you know, that's great. I tend to fall right in the middle. I think 5 days is reasonable. I worry a little bit, being based in Australia, that, you know, I'm waiting for the box to ship to me anyway, although from what I gather, you'll be able to download the client. But actually, Mark, do you want to jump on that one? I assume the early access you can download?
Yeah. I mean, you are. You're going to be able to download the client from the site and possibly from Origin as well beforehand. It's my understanding that
it works.
Yeah. It's my understanding that the people that pre-ordered in July are getting the 5 days, August 4 days, and so on and so forth. The other thing that I kind of heard about in the grapevine as well, is there is going to be a grace period for when you have to enter your CD key, which you will get with your either your digital deluxe or your boxed copy of the game. Now, obviously, that affects us here in Australia, as you said, because especially with the time of year, who knows when our boxes are going to arrive. But from what I'm hearing in the grapevine, on launch day, you don't necessarily have to input your CD key from your box.
Whoa.
There is going to be a grace period, although they haven't said how long it's going to be. So I'm trying to find out more information on that, because it seems to be coming from a few sort of sources that that's what's going to happen, which is a good thing, especially for us here in Australia.
Yeah, that's a really proactive thing for BioWare to do if that ends up being the case, as you said, particularly for people not, you know, really close to where the shipping points are for the boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've had issues with the mail here, even in Nova Scotia, so that's why I'm having mine couriered here, but get here before the 20th. So
yeah, there'll be three of us, you know, ready to go by the 20th, hopefully, and two of the three of us having had some beta access. So I'm jealous of you two guys in that respect, but I think we'll be all as excited to play as each other. You just have a head start on understanding the user interface, although I know the interface is not exactly hard to learn.
No.
So,
if you play WoW, you'll be able to play this.
And, you know, so again, Australians, New Zealanders, Oceanic players, if you haven't pre-ordered, you might want to do so pretty soon.
Like now.
Yes, there are still some pre-orders left. Just related to that, and we ran a story on the site this week, the been over 800,000 sales of the pre-order in the Americas only. So I'm assuming Americas meaning South America and North America. Mm. So add Europe and to that, it'd have to be getting close to, I don't know, 1.2, 1.4 million copies, which is pretty damn good for a pre-order level.
Yep.
So, and I was listening to another podcast today. They're saying it'd be just interesting those first 3 months of how quickly that climbs. So I've always said I don't think it's going to beat World of Warcraft in the short term, but if it goes as well as expected, I think it will in the medium term.
I was reading this week that Blizzard have said they lost 2 million subscribers in the last year from World of Warcraft.
Yeah, 2 million. They've had a big drop. They're still at about the 11 million mark, though, aren't they?
Could be.
10.5, 11 million. And they've obviously announced some things just in the past couple of weeks after BlizzCon as far as the new expansion and the 12-month deal where, whoa, I'm getting awful static.
Yeah, I'm getting that too.
Is it from me? I'm not getting it. I'm not hearing it.
It's coming from you, Ed.
Yeah, it's like your mic shorting out or something.
And I hope not.
This is the cursed I'm literally going to call this the cursed podcast. That's going to be its...
And we didn't even record it in Halloween.
That's exactly right. So,
okay, how's that?
That's better, yeah. So yeah, okay. WoW was certainly taking the fight up to keep their subscribers. So for those of you unaware and that have played WoW, if you sign up for 12 months with WoW now, you get a fairly decent price. You get a free copy of Diablo 3. You get an extra mount and a few other little things. So they're certainly
whenever the heck Diablo 3 actually comes out.
Well, that's right. They're saying March, April next year, as far as that's the rumor, but there's no confirmed date at this stage. So that's the subscriber numbers and the early access. So get in and pre-order if you haven't. And the other related issue, there's still absolutely no news on launches in other territories not yet announced. So as far as we don't know when it's launching in Australia at this stage, and I still think it's a number of months off is my guess.
Well, we can hope it's not, but with no information given out yet, ugh.
Exactly. So, and the other thing that occurred just this past week is the second fan site summit. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this beyond saying BioWare invited about a dozen, 12 or 13, I think it was, fan sites. They chose which ones they were going to invite, as is their right, which caused a bit of angst amongst some other fan sites who, you know, why didn't we get invites? And I mean, I'll certainly admit I asked BioWare, were there any opportunity for us to attend, particularly thinking that, you know, we had Ed, not close, but within Kui, and, you know, with the millionaire lifestyle we all live, he could have jumped in his jet and flown down. But, you know, to be fair, you can only fit so many fan sites in a room, and they chose the ones. I'm not going to go into the whole controversy around that. There were some comments made that were partly misconstrued but probably partly badly worded around the sites that were chosen to attend were those ones that had potential longevity. If you really want the whole breakdown of that, if you go to sunnysdiner.com, I believe it is, and it'll be in the show notes, their episode 14 of their podcast covers the issue in great detail from a fairly good objective viewpoint. But unless you're a fan site or interested in the politics of all that stuff, it's probably, you know, a bit boring for the wider audience. Any thoughts on that, guys? The fan site summit, there were some photos that came out of it. There were obviously plenty of interviews, Q&As with the developers, but I don't believe there was anything groundbreaking that came out of it.
The only thing that I saw that I really liked was there was a couple of guys that did the unboxing of the collector's edition, which was kind of cool, but they were obviously told that they weren't allowed to remove the cellophane from, like, the books or anything. They weren't able to open any of them, but it gave us an idea of what the collector's edition box looked like. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, I must admit, that was really interesting. It just really put a concrete picture of what you're going to get if you've got the collector's edition.
And also, you know, with regards to the fan sites, I mean, you know, they can't invite every fan site, can they? As you say, there's only so many people you can get in a room. That said, you know, if they want to get us over there, they want to pay for the tickets, it's all good.
And that's the other valid point is that I believe that there were some payments for transport. So, I mean, that's another reason for me certainly not expecting an invite, let alone the fact that, you know, in reality, the Oceanic area, for good or bad, and in my view it's bad, isn't in the launch area. So I can understand they're not going to see that as a central market to invite to the Fansite Summit.
So, well, hopefully they will do something when they do finally launch in your area, in the Oceanic area. I hope that they're not clueless enough to just, you know, throw the game out there and say, hey, guys, here's the game. You know, sorry.
Only time will tell.
I tend to be optimistic on that. I can't imagine them not doing some sort of launch. I'd like to think someone from BioWare would come out and do that and make a bit of a thing of it, because it will garner a lot of attention. It'll garner a lot of attention anyway, because, you know, there are a number of thousand people, as a guess, or maybe tens of thousands, that have ordered it down here. So, you know, they're going to notice the sales initially.
Yeah, I mean, and I will say this. BioWare and LucasArts, even Electronic Arts, are not Ubisoft. So they do at least attempt to communicate with their fans. They may not always say what we want them to say, but at least they attempt to communicate with their fans.
That's right. But all I ask is, BioWare, if you're going to do a big launch, make it in Sydney or Canberra, because they're the ones that I can drive to, but then I'll get flown by, like, yeah, Mark, I know you won't agree with that. So, that was the Fansite Summit, and I'm guessing, well, I'm pretty sure that would be the last Fansite Summit before launch, before things get really mad. So that was a Fansite Summit. The Revan novel, I'm going to plead total ignorance on. I haven't read even the preview. So a preview was released over the last week. Do either of you guys want to talk about that?
Look at the novel, David?
Oh, I've been too busy saving lives and being a rock star and all that sort of stuff.
Okay. Mark?
All I can really say about it is, I mean, obviously I haven't read the novel as yet. I am planning to. Revan was one of the main characters in the Knights of the Old Republic games, also by BioWare. So I believe it's the continuing sort of story of what happened with him between the Knights of the Old Republic games and the Old Republic MMO. So that it's kind of lead into to what he's been about. Apart from that, I don't know too much about it. I know, as I say, he was in Knights of the Old Republic, the first game, and was certainly mentioned a few times in the second one. So, yeah, it's something I'm looking forward to. Looking forward to the novel.
I mean, it's getting lots of kudos. It's been well written and, yeah, been a great story. So I must look. I'm hoping it's available in ebook form.
So, almost certainly.
Yeah.
I have read some of Drew Kapushin's novels, and I do like him. He is a good writer.
Apparently he's a little bit distressed that his sister Kim having recently got divorced, though. So... Oh, no, that's Kardashian. What's his surname? Sorry, that was a really...
Kerpashkin.
Yeah, that was a really lame joke, but it matches Ed's dragon one.
I heard a bell toll there somewhere.
It is available in ebook format, David. Okay. And it will be available on the 15th.
15th of November.
Yep.
Great.
Well, it's only a few days away.
Well, my thing... I've always been looking forward to this, and I think I'm going to buy it as soon as I can, because Revan was not – you've played Knights of the Old Republic, right, Mark?
Yeah, I finished both of them.
Yep. You never did, David.
No, I've done nothing. I've got nothing.
Yeah, we're going to have to remedy that. We're going to have to come down there and sit over you with the shock batons and make you play Knights of the Old Republic at least once before launch.
Well, you know what? Now that I've got Windows installed on my Mac, I could. Yeah, look, you've just given me an idea. I will do that. I'll give that commitment.
I think you can actually get the first one on Steam for about $5.
Yeah, it's $4.99 or so. It is one of the best written video games I've ever played. The story is, you know, you're going through and it's kind of, you know, you're like, okay, what am I supposed to do? What am I doing? Wait a minute. What just happened? And why? Something screwy is going on here. And then you get to the major plot twist and you're like, huh? Oh boy. It comes right out of the blue. You have no idea until that point what is going on. And then, you know, it's just like a light bulb goes on. Yeah, that point were all the reason that's why these things happened the way they did. And that, in my opinion, is the best writing. I've read a number of authors who can pull that off properly, and Drew is one of them.
So, yeah, get the book, guys. I need to finally read a Star Wars book since Splinter of the Mind's Eye in 1980-something. So I'll give the commitment to try and read it as well and play Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, I would recommend playing Knights of the Old Republic first if you can.
Yeah.
Because there is just nothing quite like hearing, "Die, meatbag."
From the droid.
From the HK-47. There's nothing quite like hearing that. He's just one of the coolest characters that I've ever encountered in a video game. He's an assassin droid, and he's proud of it.
All right, you've convinced me. And the last piece of, we didn't actually chew any fat. We've gone straight through news to chewing the fat. All these technical difficulties have done my head in. So it might even be a short one tonight, folks, but that's all good. Is we've started Oceanic Guild spotlights on the website. So we've already spotlighted the Red Zone, so TRZ Guild and Koala. Just went up yesterday. So if you're an Oceanic Guild and you want to be spotlighted, we're going to try and run at least one a week, maybe two a week. Just have a look at one of the previous spotlights and respond to those same questions. Use our contact form on the website and or email contact@toroz.com.au and more than happy to do that. Just prefer, if you can, either your guild logo or some picture that represents your guild, because we like to have pretty colours and stuff for people that like to look at things rather than read them. So yeah, get your guild spotlight. Man.
Gotta have the pretty colours, man.
I rest my case. And I believe, Mark, you might get your guild spotlighted at some stage.
Yes, I'll get my finger out and get my guild spotlighted for sure. We're still recruiting, so we'll be glad of it.
I mean,
I have a totally off-topic question for you guys. How do you pronounce that? How do you pronounce the bear?
Koala.
Koala.
So it's not koala, which is
drop.
I always heard it was koala.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
not quite. I don't think, but.
I love different accents. Oh, well. Yeah.
Oh, well. I'm tired. I'm dragging. It's. Ugh.
Yeah, it's koala. And okay. As most people overseas now understand, they're the things. Oh, it's more kangaroos we ride to work, but koalas are sort of our leisure vehicle on a weekend.
That's right.
Okay.
They're big. They're big.
You didn't realize how big they are. I thought they were fairly small.
No,
David.
No. They're about the size of a horse. So
you
quite,
could probably get four people on one if you really tried.
Yeah, the larger ones, definitely.
Yep.
Yeah, all
think,
right.
Think Dubak from Tatooine.
But without the scales and climbing on trees and eating the eucalyptus leaves, right?
Yeah. Well, depends where in Australia you actually get this koala.
Like there are literally koala rest stations near what you'd call gas stations where there's, you know, big piles of eucalyptus leaves for them to, you know, refuel as such. Just Google koala rest stations and you'll see some pretty impressive pictures. You do that, Ed, and report back next podcast. Thanks, everyone. It's a nice short one. Apologies for, well, you're not going to hear, lovely listeners, the technical difficulties, but it's rather late here now by the time we're finally finished. As always, drop us a line, as I said before, at contact@toroz.com.au. On Facebook, just search for Toroz. The forums on our website, they've been a bit slow the last week, so we'd love to have some more people in there. And a brief plug for the Toroz T-shirts with 100% of money going to 100% of profit, sorry, going to charity. So there's two. There's just one with our pretty boring logo on it, although I've worn mine and had some positive comments. Thanks, Gail. If I don't name Gail in every podcast, she gets really angry. So I think she's been named three out of the last three. And there's also a Proud to be a Red Zoner T-shirt, which I quite like.
Question, yeah. David. Yeah. One of my friends here in Nova Scotia has actually been listening to the podcast for some time, and he's asked me, begged me actually, is there any way we could get those T-shirts? I don't think there is there?
Yeah, Redbubble delivers, so they deliver worldwide. So if you click on that link, you can order. But we'll talk. We might, you know, we might organise some sort of cheaper way to get them to you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes.
We still need to make up these Toroz Fap to the Staff and Solo to the Holo.
Solo with the Holo, yes.
Yeah, I know. I haven't got round to that. I promise we'll try and do that.
I do want one.
So which you prefer, Fap to the Staff or Solo to the Holo?
Well, I think it's going to be like, you know, one scene on the front and one on the back. So.
Okay, like you
I don't know. Right, something anyway.
I'll work on that.
Okay. I have one more thing to say. Only one more thing to say. Be gone, foul demon of technology!
See, that now makes this a non-cursed podcast. Thanks to you two gents. Again, we'll talk to you in a fortnight. Thanks to everyone that's bothered to listen. And yeah, we'll be back for episode 20 then, which will actually be getting spookily close to launch.
I know, it's only 5 weeks to launch, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and we'll talk more about the future of the podcast as far as whether we increase the frequency. Would love your feedback on that. I tend towards leaving it at fortnightly, but I think that initial launch period, we might want to talk a bit more often. Yeah. So let us know, and yeah, look forward to talking to you all soon.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.